Welcome back to Third Act Saviors.
And Gopher Michael.
I'm your host, Michael from...
Gopher Daniel.
I'm Daniel.
Gopher Jacob.
I'm Jacob.
And we watch a bad movie, and then we try to fix it by only changing the third act.
Gopher Mummy.
Gopher Mummy. We watch The Mummy. I'm so excited to watch The Mummy. We wanted to watch this forever.
Now, did we watch The Mummy circa like 1932 with Boris Karloff?
No.
I don't think so.
Did we watch The Mummy from 1997 with TV's own Brendan Fraser?
No.
I don't think that one either.
Well, which mummy did we watch?
Tom Cruise missile.
Tom Cruiseman himself, the mumster, bringing it in hot, coming back for a second Third Act Saviors movie.
Yeah. We watched Jerry Mumguire.
Mumguire.
Jerry Mummyguire.
Mark Mumguire.
Mum Magnolia, starring Tom Cruise Mummy.
We watched Vanilla Sky Mummy.
Live, Die, Mum Pete.
Tom Mummy, Cruise Mumman.
We watched Days of Mummy.
Top mom.
All right, that's us. You'll see us in a fortnight. Thank you.
Bye. Peace. So, you guys want me to tell you about what happened in the plot of the movie, The Mummy, that we just watched, starring the mummy, Tom Cruise?
Yeah, I was too busy walking around the apartment.
Fighting a cat.
As usual.
Looking at a cat. I'm going to look. I have to look at Wikipedia for this one because it is simultaneously the simplest movie and the most complicated.
This movie is basically if you took the first six Marvel Cinematic Universe movies and tried to condense them into one movie.
I guess we should start with laying a little groundwork here about something I like to call the Dark Universe.
What Whoa. The hell is that?
That got spooky.
That sounds scary. The lights just dimmed.
Oh, this is our first October podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It's Spoop Fest 2017.
Prepare to be spooped.
Oh, my pants.
I spooped him. So the Dark Universe, and stop me if you've heard this, but don't stop me because I know we've already talked about this before the podcast began recording. But don't stop me to stop me. That the Dark Universe is Universal Pictures' attempt at doing the Marvel Cinematic Universe or the Hasbro Cinematic Universe, trademark Third Act Saviors.
Yep.
Where all of the Universal monsters, those classic movie monsters, we're going to each have a movie based on them come out and then tie them all together Marvel Avenger style. First starting with Dracula Untold, except that didn't do very well, so they decided that one would not count and they would try it again with The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
Now with The Mummy, which maybe they won't do a sequel to and may stop here.
Yeah, good enough. It's in the universe.
They should just reboot it again
with
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mummy, Dracula, Invisible Man, Jaws.
Or do a Dracula like Dracula. My issue with this Universal Dark Universe shenanigans is that it already exists.
Yeah.
Like the 1930s, 1940s Universal monster movies all kind of already existed in the same universe in that time period. It's not that hard.
Yeah, Gary Oldman's still farting around. Get him in there.
He's doing great.
We got a Dracula already with two buns.
So to tease something I want to do later, how many Avengers are there? There's five, right?
Well, there's Thor, there's He-Man,
there's Wolverine.
There's Shazam.
There's Captain Underpants.
The Brave Little Toaster.
There's Jazz.
There's
Buzz Aldrin, the famous toy.
That was too funny. Now I'm laughing.
And
the Incredibles. Okay, so there's like five of them. So later, I think we need to determine if we were doing the Dark Universe, what are our five monsters?
Okay.
And who's going to star as each of those in each of those
movies? Do you have to pick actual monsters? Like,
yes.
Okay.
They have to be real film properties. I don't care.
Can it be
universe.
Teenage versions of the monster?
I mean, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Could one of the monsters be like American apathy toward the political system?
Yeah.
Only if it's a monster, you know, unless it takes corporeal form.
Mine's Teen Wolf, but he's old now. And so teen man. Teen man.
Wolf dad.
Played by Michael J. Fox.
This is his dad.
Yeah. It's peaks too early, man.
He does not slam any basketballs.
Ferris Wolfman's day off.
Mine's going to be the Eraserhead baby, but now he's a grown-up. Spoiler for later in this podcast. Don't skip ahead.
He can fall apart and be reassembled.
Oh, man, it's Frankenweenie, but he's old now. Okay.
Mine's just going to be the movie Small Soldiers, but five times.
And they could fight the Indian in the cupboard.
That would be a little bit too imperial.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Maybe the Indian wins.
Yeah.
We'll save for later. Save it for our ending.
Wait, now we just wrote Avatar.
Sequel's coming soon. Wait, hold on. Okay. The movie starts. Flashback number one. It's Crusader times in medieval Europe.
Yes. The tale of the mummy, as old as time, begins in England.
Wait, guys. It's Crusaders.
Yeah, baby.
But yeah, what the fuck, movie?
Let me read you the first sentence in the plot description on Wikipedia to cover it. In 1127 AD, several English Crusader knights bury an Egyptian ruby within the tomb of one of their number. In present-day London. So then we flash forward to modern day, where a construction crew is drilling a big tunnel, Big Bertha style.
Yeah, they got a big fake drill making a hole in the wall.
For our non-Seattleite listeners, yeah. Big Bertha is a big drill that's drilling underneath Seattle and cannot seem to drill with purpose.
Yeah.
It's had some problems.
Hey, it made it. Everyone hates on Bertha, but it got her done.
Is it done now?
It's done.
It got her done.
Well, when are we driving around in the Bertha hole?
Because they're putting streets in it now.
One of the zombies going to pop out or whatever.
They're paving them with cheese.
You know, I heard they found like a stone down there.
Yeah.
A red stone.
Is it Egyptian?
I mean, what would an Egyptian stone be doing all the way out here in a knight's tomb?
Oh.
Well, I go on a pub crawl every year called the Crusaders.
Go on.
We collect any stones that we find. Some of them could be magic. Who knows?
Who's to say? You stick them in the end of the right dagger, anything could be possible.
But anyways, we all get buried together when we die. That's part of it.
Holding hands.
Now, which one was Daniel's favorite stone?
You're buried with a Rainier and your favorite rock.
Yep.
A rolling rock.
Ooh, hey! Swish.
Nice.
So then we can cut to present-day England, where a big old drill punches through the side of this same coffin mausoleum thing with the Crusaders.
Yeah, it's a Porky situation.
No giant wieners here, though, folks.
No one puts a wiener through the hole.
Well, in Porky's,
you just put an eyeball through the hole, right?
No.
He puts
a wiener through that hole.
What happens to the wiener? I haven't seen Porky's in a while.
A lady grabs it hard.
Like, sexually?
No. Like in a, this is offensive and I need to stop it, but also get right in there.
A punishment squeeze.
Yes. I believe like a old lady grabs it hard.
An old lady. Mm-hmm. Don't grab my wiener.
That's right. I'm not
Don't
sure.
Don't tread on me.
Yeah, that's not a snake on my flag. Bumper sticker.
Into four little slices.
Don't grab Porky's my wiener. What is that?
When we have a merch webpage and someday we're going to have a flag that says don't chop me up Porky style.
It's a wiener coming through a hole chopped up into a bunch
of pieces. Someone call Rand Paul. I have a design for him.
Save that for the next protest march. It's going to have one slice labeled P.O., the next one R.K., and the last one Y.
Don't grab my Porky's wiener.
Yeah, a Porky's divided.
Cannot stand. construction crew is there in the mausoleum to smash it? I don't know.
Well, they're like, oh, there's ancient artifacts here. We should preserve them or whatever. But instead of all of those construction workers leaving and being replaced by archaeologists, mm-hmm. which is what would actually happen.
I would hope so.
The construction workers just mill around for a while looking at stuff.
Until some mysterious figure comes and says, I bet it, boys, we got this. And hands him an envelope.
Now, Michael's doing a Cockney accent, but actually he has an upper-class British accent till later when he has a Cockney accent.
Hello, please, we have to take care of this, if you don't mind.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, we get to see the silhouette of an aging Russell Crowe.
He looks at the sarcophaguses and mutters some ancient
sarcophagi.
We see a sarcophagi.
And it's pretty fly.
Pretty fly for sarcophagi.
Give it to me, Emotep.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's for our old listeners.
Russell Crowe looks at a drawing of a pyramid on a wall and says, darkness has lived here for 1,000 years, blah, 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 blah. Then we flash back again, but farther back this time, to ancient Egypt.
And in another country.
Princess Amenet is the first in line to succeed her father, Mehnepte. Its second wife gives birth to a son. So we see Sophia Batella, ancient Princess Amenet. She is going to be the queen of Egypt, but then the pharaoh gives birth to a son. So now the son's going to be in charge, and she's upset. And Russell Crowe, I think, or maybe Jenny, somebody's doing a voiceover to explain what
Russell Crowe is
in
the beginning.
It's confusing because people explain this series of events like 4 times in the movie.
And Jenny does do some of the narration later in the movie.
Yeah, Jenny re-explains it to us later. It really feels like a thing where the movie had a plot and then someone was like, it's confusing. Have Russell Crowe break it down.
What about all the drunk members of the audience? What are they going to need to know?
To be fair, I was not paying attention as a drunk member of the audience.
And it was still too much.
It was.
So Russell Crowe explains that Princess Amenet knows that power cannot be given. It must be taken. So she casts a necromantic spell to bring Set forth to give her power, I guess.
Yeah, she gets nude, lights a few candles, and a skeleton appears and gives her a knife with a ruby in it.
Yes, the ruby we saw earlier.
It's important to note that the ruby is detachable from the knife.
It's very important to note that this is a plot point.
Because the rest of this movie is people trying to get that knife and also get the ruby. Oh, I got the ruby. Oh, the knife got away. Oh, got the knife. The ruby got away.
Well, there's a third MacGuffin they need to get, too.
Yeah.
The Chosen, which is also sort of vaguely hinted at here, where she has to kill a mortal man. So she kills her dad and she kills the baby, and then she has to kill a mortal man with the gemstone knife.
In order to bring Set to life.
Yes, but before she can
wake him up.
Wake me up!
Wake me up inside.
I can't wake up.
Wake me up inside.
Say me!
Call my name in Dooble Blurby Bye.
That is you're welcome. That is the mummy.
She gets a bunch of poison darts in the neck. The guards have arrived just in time to keep her from sacrificing that dude. So they decide she will get a terrible punishment being mummied alive. Mummy's alive, they say back then. And they stick her in a sarcophagus.
When you get mummified alive, that you just get wrapped up because all the other stuff of being a mummy would kill you.
Yeah, all of the removal of every organ and the preservation of the skin.
Well, also, they imply that she's buried alive, but later you see that they have drowned her in mercury, so I don't think she's alive for very long in this process.
Well, she's magical. She was alive the whole time.
I guess so. She's got it. When she casts her necromantic spell, she gets a bunch of hieroglyphic-ish tattoos all over her body, and she gets ashy skin.
And extra eyeballs. Wait, extra pupils and retinas.
Yeah, her pupils do a cool figure eight thing in her eyeballs.
Which someone thought would look scary, but it does not look scary.
It looks like a person you'd pick up in Mass Effect 2 to be on your crew.
It looks hard to notice, if anything.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's an effect that requires very close-up shots of people's eyeballs to show.
Yeah.
Then we flash forward again to modern day, but now we're in the Middle East, and two lovable young rogues, army scouts probably, are scouting out a bunch of scary looking terrorist stereotype folks smashing up Egyptian statues, it looks
in
like.
In modern day Iraq, it says.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're introduced to our hero, Nick Mar Mason? Nick Mason?
Nick. They just call him Nick.
Yeah.
And then his buddy, played by Jake Johnson from TV's The New Girl.
Nick Morton and his buddy, Chris Vale. Says he's a sergeant and Chris Vale is a corporal, but that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
They're really just two random people who happen to be somehow affiliated with the United States military.
Yeah.
Who also just steal artifacts from the Middle East and sell them on the black market. So they're war profiteers.
They are 100% war profiteers. Also, they are he's introduced, our hero, Tom Cruise, Nick Morton, is introduced as a Army Ranger, but none of this the fact that he's in the army is forgotten about 30 minutes of the film, and he also never shoots a gun again.
Yeah.
That doesn't come up at all in this movie. Neither the skills nor the, like, relationships he'd have.
He's, like, an army person who has received zero training in being an army.
Also, yeah, it's like if army was just you showed up to the military base, they put you on a helicopter, and then set you loose in Iraq.
And also, when you come back to... you leave the war zone, they're like, just do whatever you want, come back when you're ready. No one checks in to be like, hey, let's debrief your deployment. And it's just like, well, I guess he's done in the army now.
Yeah.
Nick Morton is looking at a note that basically says, Dear Jenny, these coordinates, signed Henry. They're looking, and he said,
oh my god, I just got who the note was from.
Oh yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, this is my second time watching this movie, so I recognize the name. Wow, I was hoping the Wikipedia example would say what the name of the town is that they're so excited about.
They're at Haram.
Haram.
He says Haram when the thing's uncovered.
So he's like, let's go down and steal all the treasure, the archaeology treasure, because, hey, Vale, you and I are smugglers.
And also, we can just find trucks to drive it out of here in this enemy territory and figure out all the logistics of getting it home.
And legitimately, Vale begins with like, oh no, that's too bad. It's only like militants now. There's nobody down there that we can like talk to. Mm-hmm. We should just leave. And Tom Cruise is like, no, let's just Uncharted 2 this bad boy.
Yeah.
Let's just go in there and steal everything. And then he destroys Vale's water canteen, so he has no choice but to follow him.
Look at all that tall grass. We can just crouch in it and then break everybody's neck one at a time.
But much like in Uncharted, that doesn't work.
Immediately, they are discovered.
Cut to a wacky scene where they're running away from insurgents shooting at them and throwing grenades, and they're running around machine gunning down people and running through buildings and going up steps and stuff.
It really mixes the harrowing... traumatic experience of open combat with the hilarity of Yakety Sax.
Yeah. With Luke and Han running from the stormtroopers in the Death Star.
But also a morally ambiguous situation.
Not ambiguous. It's morally, it is
morally
bad.
Wrong. They are bad people.
The only possible silver lining is that they say that the people that they are harming are also bad.
Yeah.
This is if your heroes from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia suddenly became Army Rangers.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we're about 10 minutes into this movie. We've been introduced to our heroes now. They're about to be killed. They take cover on a rooftop, but they're surrounded. But don't worry, a predator strike blows up a bunch of people.
And Vale calls in an airstrike, because don't forget, they have the full backing of the American military at all times.
Even though they explain they are not where they're supposed to be, and they're not supposed to be looting stuff. But a drone strike blows up a bunch of militants. The rest of them drive away. Now, no problem, they're saved, except now somebody's going to yell at them because they were in the wrong place.
And the drone strike opens up a big hole in the ground full of treasures.
There's a big Egyptian face down there, it looks like.
Oh, Harambe, Tom Cruise says.
Dicks out for Harambe, he says.
I had a good idea for a meme, you guys.
Yeah, let's hear it.
What's that?
Okay, so it's... you know, in Terminator 2, when the T-1000 is asking around, have you seen that boy? It's just a picture. Or have you seen this boy?
Yeah.
I just ruined my meme.
Meme ruined.
Have you seen this boy? But it's just the still of that movie, but in my meme.
It's that boy?
Yes, he's holding up a picture of a frog on a unicycle.
Oh, I like that.
Sorry I ruined your meme, Daniel.
Well, this episode is edited, make that meme and post it on our Instagram. Okay.
Have you seen that boy?
So it can go up. That could be our episode picture.
Yeah, and the caption is just, oh shit, what up?
Yeah, okay.
Oh shit, what up? You know, I feel like it's fitting because this movie is about resurrection and I'm resurrecting like a 4-year-old meme.
It's time. It's ironic again.
Yeah.
We're introduced to Colonel Greenway, their angry black commanding officer who yells at them, but they get results or whatever. And Jennifer Haisley, the archaeologist, who's mostly a hostage throughout this movie, but is the main love interest. And approximately 30 years, the junior of Tom Cruise.
She gives you some exposition and then is in peril. And that's it.
And then just repeat that cycle until the movie's
for
over.
2 hours. She explains to the colonel and the audience, because there's a lot of exposition in this, that she slept with Tom Cruise. He stole that map from her.
But don't worry, Colonel. It wasn't any good, and I'm telling you this for some reason.
Colonel, yeah. I may have had sex with him, but it only lasted 16 seconds.
And he's like, it was actually really good.
Yeah.
And the Colonel says, I'm so mad at you two guys, you need to help her get archaeologist stuff out of that hole.
And she's like, whoa, 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 there might be people attacking this city now that we've bombed it, but archaeology, Colonel...
She explains how important it would be to preserve these artifacts by explaining to the Colonel how expensive they are for whatever reason. And then they go down, they rappel down into this hole.
Yeah.
You got 2 hours, the Colonel tells them, which is just enough time for them to lower several thousand pounds of very expensive lighting.
Yep.
They wander around first with just flashlights in a spooky Egyptian hole. Inside, they discover some golden treasure that Tom Cruise steals. A bunch of skeletons, what looks to be a extensive trap and jury rigging system for cables and stuff that involve mercury dripping down from the ceiling and pooling into a big pool.
Yeah, there seems to be an unlimited amount of mercury.
Yes.
Inside this tomb.
Well, you guys, when you were kids, just went around and scooped up all the mercury that was lying around.
Mercury fight.
The movie also has to remind us that mercury is bad for you.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Movie's good at reminding.
There's the next Dark Universe character, the Mad Hatter.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a reference.
Yeah. And that'll be a Batman crossover movie.
Oh, Ben Affleckman. He could be in both. Affleckman. So they also
he is old enough to be in the Dark Universe.
He could be older, frankly. they explain that mercury was believed by the Egyptians to ward off evil spirits, which I'm not going to look up to see if that's true or not.
I bet it is. Sure, why not?
I guess so. If they had access to mercury, the militants are coming. There's bogeys two clicks away or whatever, so they gotta hustle it up. But Jenny is saying, no, we can't go. We got to get all this cool treasure. Nick has a weird flash to... He shoots a rope.
But first he has like a Sherlock like house.
Looking at all the chains.
Someone said like, if only this tomb had a bouncer. And then he looks at the camera and you're like, oh, no, that's going to be it. He's got it. He's got the solution to this medical issue. But only with ropes and with chains.
You swallowed a bouncy ball.
Exactly.
Nick shoots a chain. The chains all whip around. Weights are dropped, I guess, from the chains. And a sarcophagus is lifted out of the mercury.
Yeah, he cuts the only rope that's keeping an ancient demonic force at bay.
Yeah,
oh, which guys.
Is down there for some reason.
Apparently, in Mexico, at the Teotihuacan pyramids, they found large quantities of liquid mercury underneath one of the pyramids.
Was
there.
It to keep the evil spirits at bay?
I'm not going to read the article of that in depth. And this is also Mexico, not Egypt.
Pyramid's a pyramid.
Pyramid's a pyramid.
That's what they say. You know the old saying. If it looks like a pyramid and it quacks like a pyramid, it's a pyramid, baby.
The lead archaeologist says, I don't know why it's there. Maybe it's to symbolize an underworld river or lake.
Well, that guy doesn't seem like he's doing this job very hard.
Hey, that guy's never played Minecraft. I don't need to explain to you why I have a room full of gold blocks. No, fuck off.
I had a lot of gold blocks. What else am I going to do? Nick lifts the sarcophagus out by shooting this chain. He has a flash to ancient Egypt where he meets Sophia Batella pre-mummification, who says, I've chosen you and you've set me free.
Yeah.
A bunch of spiders shoot out of the walls and start crawling around, and Vale does not like it. So he starts machine gunning spiders, but he gets bit on the neck.
Right square on the neck.
Tom Cruise says, don't worry about it. Those are non-poisonous spiders.
Yeah.
Don't even give a flip. They have to leave, but Jenny's like, no, we have to take the sarcophagus, so strap it to a helicopter. It'll just swing around from the end of a rope at the bottom of a helicopter as we fly out of here. So that's what they do.
Yep. That goes according to plan. There's like a 5-minute scene of them driving to an airplane, getting on the airplane.
There's a wall of sand coming.
Yeah.
Also, this entire time, Jake Johnson's character, Vale, every time it cuts to him, he's more pale and more veins are starting to appear on his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And no one seems to notice or care.
No, nobody cares even a little bit. There's a giant sandstorm coming in, so the plane is and they get away free.
And SoundCloud takes down our...
We did too good of a job.
It was so good.
Who is that, Pentatonix?
They get away from the sandstorm. Vale starts... Vale starts flipping out. Nick passes out for a little bit to have another vision. And when he comes to, Vale is... got a knife and he's trying to cut the sarcophagus free from where it's strapped into the airplane. Oh, we have a brief moment where Jenny tries to put a suitcase up and we get to see her exposed midriff while Nick stares at it.
Yeah. Ooh, what do we have here?
Oh, baby.
I get to see a lady I've already had sex with's belly button.
Oh, mama.
That's a tomb I'd like to raid.
I'd steal the treasure, a.k.a. lint, out of that.
That's my last journey. An uncharted one, I'd say. My last journey, is that a subtitle for that? A thief's end. A thief's end.
There it is.
If that was her butt, I guess. I don't know.
I go in that temple of doom. I go in that temple of poon.
Oh. The tomb of the tummy.
Cut mine out. Just leave Daniel's in.
Yeah, there you go. Colonel Greenway is like, Vale, stop cutting that shit. And Vale stabs him to death.
Ah!
Now everybody's really scared, and Vale's advancing on Tom Cruise, Jenny, and the other soldiers with a knife.
And random soldiers, yeah.
Random soldiers. Tom Cruise steals one of the soldiers' guns, and he's like, don't shoot him. I'll shoot you guys if you don't shoot my friend. But Vale is still advancing on them and swinging at a knife, so Tom Cruise, backed up against the wall, has to shoot his friend to death.
Yeah.
Once. Twice. Three times.
A mummy. A
mummy. Three times a Renfro.
Just then, a whole bunch of birds come shooting through the cockpit.
Now, you might have seen a trailer in which this had happened, but all of the audio was cut out except for grunts and guffaws.
If you haven't, go watch go that right now on YouTube because it's hilarious.
It is the best.
A bunch of birds crash through the, like 100 birds. Crash through the cockpit, killing the pilot and co-pilot, and the plane immediately starts crashing. Also, a big chunk of the plane busts off for some reason. I missed why. Maybe birds hit it or something.
Too many birds.
Everybody gets sucked out.
The turbines blew up because birds were in it.
Oh, and then the turbine hit the other part of the fuselage or whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
The soldiers get sucked out. They all start grabbing parachutes. There's only one parachute left as the plane's going down, so Nick gives it to Jenny. And then
in a real sick free fall zero G sequence.
That's right. And he sacrifices himself by using turning her parachute on or whatever, releasing her chute.
He turned it on. First he had to charge it.
He charged it. Then he turned it on. The plane crashes. Our hero is dead, probably. Or is he?
Cut to Jenny. She's all shaken up. Like a Cars song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens to her next?
She's in a morgue, and some old lady's like, I'm sorry, dear, you have to identify the bodies. The booties. So, obviously, several hours have passed since this tragedy has occurred.
I mean, easily a day, because they had to have gotten the bodies, and then processed them in the morgue, and laid them all out on slabs, and then gotten her out of the hospital to come look at them.
Yeah, they're all in slabs, in bags, prepared to be identified. Cut to
the morgue.
Oh, that's right.
The inside of the morgue.
I forgot we had to then... Tom Cruise sits up in his bag.
It's hard to tell with this movie where they do something twice, explain something two times. Tom Cruise sits up in his bag. He has survived the crash with nary a scratch upon him. Just then, Jenny and the mortician... Mortician?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mortician
Some
Adams.
People come in, and he's very scared they'll see his weenie.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta hide behind this other dead body of someone I probably knew because my wiener's out.
Well, you see, Jacob, it's a metaphor for the Bible, because when God found Adam and Eve after they'd eaten the fruit, What they were most concerned about was their nudity.
Michael, I've seen Noah. I know the Bible.
Yeah.
That's true.
If anyone saw his wiener, he'd have to drink a whole bunch of wine and then condemn one of his sons.
Yeah. For some reason...
It's a deep cut. I love it.
For some reason, nobody really is concerned or questions the fact that he was dead and is now back to life at all throughout this whole movie.
They're like, he's alive. Cut to him getting drunk at a bar.
Yeah, him doing shots.
They also, I guess the army doesn't care. Maybe they marked him as dead now or something.
There's one thing where, I mean, this is a huge plot hole. It's dumb. But we're missing the even more hugest plot hole.
Oh, yeah. That scene in between the two.
Where...
It's open in night in England somewhere.
And two Bobbies, I think they're called.
I believe they're called Bobbies. Bobby's
two
World.
Bobbies. Two Bobbies Worlds.
Damn it, Bobby.
Damn it, Bobby.
Two damn it, Bobbies.
Two gumshoes, two flatfoots.
Mm-hmm.
A stumble upon a cave in the London Underground.
I think it's above ground, but I think it's a ruined church in the... outskirts of London at night with flaming wreckage.
It's where the plane crashed.
Still burning, but not all of it.
But not all of the plane. Yeah. It is a secondary piece of the plane that has crashed, has yet to be recovered by anyone who is recovering this plane crash. No one has noticed it's destroyed a church until at least like 16 hours later.
Yeah.
No one came by with a fire extinguisher.
No. Yeah,
they pulled all the Tom Cruises out of it.
Yeah.
But didn't pull the mummy sarcophagus or fires out of it.
Right. So those two police officer, two Bobbies pull up. They call in their, I guess, a report saying, oh, there's a bunch of sarcophaguses here.
We got a sarcophagi. We got...
Oh, that's a 375.
Oh, yeah. Oh, too right. We got a 375 down in William Bookshire.
They gotta at least send an ambulance to load that sarcophagus in, because there's a dead body in it, we assume. And then a creepy, crawly mummy pops up and gives them each a smooch on the lips.
This is a pretty classic mummy.
Pretty classic mummy.
Spindly, covered in bandages, mm-hmm. wants to kiss people. That's a mummy.
You've got a mummy.
You know what? For a while, I was asking, what happens when the mummy gets you?
You might be a mummy.
You kiss random strangers and steal their youth. You might be a mummy.
Well, we all know it
here's
walks
your dagger.
You. It walks at you with its arms out, but then what happens?
Get wrapped.
Does it strangle you?
Daniel, you're never going to get this sentence out as we're Michael and I are reliving the blue collar comedy tour. Thank you, whatever guy in my undergraduate dorm showed me that.
Guys, I'm just trying to get her done over here.
All right, Daniel, get her done.
Get her done.
Well, now I know. Thank you, the movie, The Mummy. The mummy kisses you.
The mummy kisses you and seals your youth to add to her.
Like many things in this movie, this comes up again one more time later. So she kisses these two Bobbies into zombies. At which point Michael looked up, are mummies zombies on the internet?
And there is a very strong idea that no, mummies are not indeed zombies.
What was their number one piece of evidence?
Mummies are named something different than zombies.
Okay.
If they were just zombies, they'd be probably called zombies.
Could you have a zombie mummy?
Ooh, zombubby?
A zombummy?
No, I don't think so.
A mummy.
Would that be a mummy that's bitten by a zombie?
Mumby.
What? No, the Dark Universe will answer this question.
Yeah.
What if a mummy is bitten by a zombie?
And then taken apart and reassembled into a Frankenstein mum zombie.
I mean, in terms of biting...
A Frankenstein's mom zombie? Yeah.
You could have an Egyptian lady bit by Dracula and a wolfman and then mummified.
And then buried in a swamp.
You could really... You just need one movie to cover all the ground.
And turn invisible.
And turn invisible, and also she has to take a potion or she goes crazy.
Yeah.
And
marries Frankenstein.
You can do it all. You don't need to have six movies. You just need one.
Just one Tom Cruise doing everything. He's got the energy for it.
He could be Frankenstein's bride.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to this Wikipedia article, Aminette, the mummy, also finds the dagger of Set that she's looking for, which had been traveling with them, in this church.
Yeah, I guess that happened.
Oh, someone says a line like, do you think that she intentionally crashed the plane here? Because that's where the dagger is. Someone says that line.
I believe you.
Wait, they didn't have the dagger? Like
it was in the church because the crusaders stole it. And also the crusaders are like, we got to take the gem off this dagger.
Wow.
Put one in London and one in
this. What a contrivance.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why bother? Wow, there were some writing problems.
In case some morally decrepit thief ever shot that single rope that was keeping the mummy at bay.
Then we see that our hero, our best pal, Nick, is getting drunk at a bar with Jenny, where she's like, you are still alive and you're totally fine. And he's like, I guess, whatever.
And she's like, hey, what if this is a mummy's curse thing?
A what?
Yeah,
I don't know. A mummy's curse.
Huh?
Oh, a mommy?
What's a mommy? My mommy's a very nice lady.
He sees a vision of Vale. If you've seen, what is it? American Werewolf in Paris.
Yep.
Or London, even.
Or London. That is this. They steal that best friend is turning into a zombie ghost.
My best friend is dead, and I keep seeing visions of his decrepit and of his falling apart corpse talking to me.
Yeah. Exactly that premise. Exactly stolen.
Well, 100%. They only steal it for 5 minutes and then forget about it. And
until the very end. The end. Yeah. Again, it only happens once or twice.
He tells Nick to follow him into the bathroom for a conversation that, as it turns out, has no bearing on the plot, where he's like, you killed me, and you're cursed, and I'm cursed, and we're cursed together. Tom Cruise runs outside, and a bunch of rats bite him.
But not really.
Because it's also another vision.
Yeah, so a bunch of rats bite him and a mummy comes and attacks him. But then he wakes up and he's in the street in front of the bar. And Jenny's there being like, I think you've been cursed by a mummy. And he's like, yeah. She has a terrible line earlier where she says, I think we've been cursed by the gods. Or we've angered the gods, which seems like a really weird thing for an archaeologist to say.
It's true.
We see Jenny take a phone call from Russell Crowe, very obviously. It's supposed to be mysterious.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
I missed that entirely.
She's like, hi, Henry, it's me, Jenny, or whatever, and then it cuts away.
Excuse me, this is Russell Crowe?
Yes.
Hello.
It's your cousin, Marvin Crowe.
You know that new monster you've been looking for? Well, listen to this. They did the mash.
Yeah, it's a graveyard smash.
Nick convinces Jenny that they should go drive to a church out in the woods for some reason.
He saw a vision, and that's where the dagger is.
So they need to, I guess they care, so they're going to go get that dagger. There's a mumsy there. He stumbles on a mummy with a bunch of little mini mummies.
He's a mini mummy.
Mini mummies.
Mighty Max has to fight him.
The Aminet,
it's
the
my
mummy,
favorite playset.
She's becoming more like a sexy lady, little bit by little bit. She grabs him, she beats him up, she's gonna stab him with the dagger of Set, but then at the last minute she realizes no gemstone.
Don't work.
Ain't no gemstone, ain't no party.
Sorry. Then Jenny comes in and goes,
mommy! And she's like, Scoob, get out!
Tom Cruise says, run, we gotta get out of here!
They do that Scooby-Doo thing where they run through the hallway of doors.
They leave behind a little cloud in the shape of their body.
Yep. She gets a Jenny snack.
Three Jenny snacks?
They go look around a corner and stack up their heads.
Yep.
Boop, boop, boop. They eat a sandwich in one bite, and it, like, you see the outline of it in their neck as it goes down.
Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise licks ice cream off of his entire body. One go.
Ooh. Tom Cruise also loses his glasses.
Oh, no. Then he feels up the mummy.
Gee, Jenny, your hand sure is cold and clammy. Zoinks!
Et cetera, et cetera. And then they meet the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, and then Vincent Price does a voice.
13 ghosts from the early 90s.
And then...
it's a good Vincent Price impression.
Thank you.
There's a Scrappy Cruise.
Scrappy Cruise.
Nick and Jenny drive away, but then they drive back, and she's like, oh, you're being pulled to Aminet. They drive away again.
Oh, yeah, they drive away, and Tom Cruise goes, oh, shit, I just drove right back to where we drove away.
Yeah. Kind of a funny joke, I guess.
For some reason, they have to drive away from a mummy known for being slow and a bunch of zombies also known for being slow very fast and dangerously down a forest road.
Mummy or zombie mummies jump all over their car and
they just appear.
Yeah.
It's like they're spawned directly above the hood.
They're trying to, I don't know, grab them? Who knows? He flips the car trying to get one of the mummies off. he gets confronted by Jenny stuck in the car. He runs out and he's gonna have a showdown with the mummy, so he's gonna hit her with a big stick, but she just uppercuts him up into outer space and down again.
It was a funny joke.
Yeah, it was,
yeah,
pretty
it was one of the better parts of the movie.
She's going to totally stabify him, I guess, although she still doesn't have the gem and still not changed any of the situation at all. But then a bunch of spears hit her and also blow darts and tranquilizer darts.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of mysterious soldiers.
It's army men have arrived.
But dressed all in black.
Scary army men.
Tom Cruise gets a tranquilizer dart in the neck as well. And I think Jenny may say, like, I'm sorry.
Go Squad.
It's Go Squad.
Go Squad 420.
It's Monster Squad. They're going to kick him right in the nards.
They, I think, now cut to the Monster Squad headquarters.
Yeah, we cut to Protego or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
Prometheus.
I'm gonna look on the Wikipedia because I don't. Prodigium.
Mine were less stupid.
That sounds like a ministry in equilibrium.
It also sounds like a Digimon monster.
Is it Digimon. Cactus with boxing gloves?
Prodigium.
It sounds like a group that hunts monsters in an anime or this movie. So we meet Dr. Henry Jekyll, played by Russell Crowe, an old wise man in comparison to Tom Cruise's young, strong buck.
Yeah. Young, immature, detached.
Yeah, just at the start of his army career, I guess. Dr. Jekyll explains that he's part of a secret society that hunts monsters and evil in the world, because he knows a thing or two about controlling evil from man's hearts or whatever. He gives a lot of stinky monologues.
Yeah, during this speech, he gets progressively more...
Progressively?
Progressively more Dr. Heedy.
He's progressively more Dr. Heed.
He gives himself a shot to make himself less cockney.
Well, thank God we took care of that problem.
Forever.
That will never come up again. Especially not once more in this movie.
They explain that Jenny is a member of the Prodigium, apparently, according to this Wikipedia, that she was working for him to help him scope out monster threats, even though she seemed both surprised and scared by everything she ran into, even though she is part of a monster hunting squad.
She's a great actress.
Let's see.
Why was she speechless when she saw mummies?
I don't know.
She knew very well what she was hunting.
According to the Wikipedia article, at this point, Dr. Jekyll explains his plan, which is to do exactly the same thing that the mummy was going to, but for the purposes of destroying Set when it assumes his mortal body instead of whatever she's going to do.
Yeah, you put Set in Tom Cruise's body, but you surround him with machine guns and then shoot him to death.
So, I don't remember. I know Daniel has seen it. And I believe, Jacob, you must have seen it.
Huh?
The movie Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. I have never seen Suicide Squad.
Oh. So this plot that our Moomy has to...
It's pronounced movie.
Moomy. Our Moomy. The Moomy. Before she became the Moomy. That's my nanny joke for all those cool kids out there.
Michael's pointing at
the TV.
Darkened television screen. Looking at it. There's nothing
plot,
on it.
That plot to stab a human mortal man to infest him with her boyfriend is the exact plot of the movie The Suicide Squad.
Well, it's one of the seven stories that mankind likes to tell
us. Sure.
You gotta stab someone to bring your boyfriend back.
Man versus nature, man versus self.
Yes.
Man versus mummy.
Yeah. Mystical woman stabs mortal man to create mystical man for boning purposes.
And then they make their magic baby.
And of course, Dracula versus werewolf.
Yes.
And of course, Freddy versus Jason.
Alien versus Predator.
I'm just laughing. I don't have another one. That was fun.
Batman versus Superman.
Ah, there it is.
What's that one Kramer where it's Will Ferrell versus Zach Galifianakis?
Daddy's Home.
Nah, that's Will Ferrell versus Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, yeah. All the Jungian archetypes.
Daddy's Home 2, though, we're very excited about.
No!
It's got Mel Gibson and John Lithgow.
There's something not funny about Mel Gibson, and I think I know what it is. Somehow the comedic stylings of somebody who's never really been that funny in his entire career.
And who also has, been a bit problematic.
I think that's an undersell.
Problematic. He's edging towards problem.
He's an edgelord, we call him.
The real issue with Daddy's Home 2 is he is playing Mark Wahlberg's father, whose big thing is that Will Ferrell is just too much of a feminine man.
He's too soft.
He's too beta male.
Well, I guess Mel Gibson is playing a character he believes in.
Yeah. Leather Jacket Daddy.
Leather Jacket Daddy versus Sweater Daddy.
Wait.
27.
Did this just turn into an Arrested Development episode?
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like
it. I need to be a Leather Jacket Daddy.
I mean, it's called Daddy's Home. Sounds like a movie that Tobias would have on his shelf in Arrested Development.
Yeah, true. What movie did we watch today?
I think we watched The Mummy. About four different characters give a exposition monologue now, and I'm not going to bother covering it. Jenny talks to Nick. Dr. Jekyll talks to Jenny. Nick talks to the mummy. And then finally,
they got
Nick
the mummy chained up.
Yeah, they have her in a weird bondage mummy device.
It's like the Avengers, except instead of a big glass cage, it is like
two chains.
It's two chains.
And chains?
He's holding two chains. It's restraining the mummy.
She basically tries to tell Nick, like, I didn't mean to hurt anybody.
I'm just doing my thing.
And also,
I'm just being me.
And also, I'll make you an immortal god. Just,
And he's like,
be cool, baby.
No, I don't want that, I guess.
You and I will bone each other until the cosmos explode. Or whatever my plan is.
Finally, Dr. Jekyll confronts Nick and basically spills the beans that, like, my plan is we'll put a monster in you and then stab you to death, and then...
We found the stone. We showed the mummy on a big TV screen that we found the stone and where we found it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to bring the stone here, stab you with it. When Set invades your body, we'll kill you and Set.
Also, Dr. Jekyll starts hiding out a little bit. But Nick is pissed off that he's going to be murdered, and he's like, whoa, let me hold, let's talk about this, and steals Dr. Jekyll's medicine syringes. Yeah. It's like a big injection device. One of Dr. Jekyll's henchmen is like, gotta go, and grabs Jenny and pulls her out of the door and hits the emergency lockdown button.
Hits the emergency hide panic room.
Dr. Jekyll starts hiding out. Meanwhile, Amunet whispers a little magic spell that causes a tiny spider to crawl up from the ducts and into one of the prodigium guard's ears, controlling his mind. His eyes roll back in his head
like me when my parents say something dumb.
Like me when my parents watch Big Bang Theory.
Bazinga.
Amunet.
We finally see Mr. Hyde revealed. He looks like Russell Crowe.
After he's had four beers.
Oh my god, that really is just Russell Crowe, though.
Yeah, he has a Cockney accent now.
He's bloaty and has vein makeup
he's
on.
He's so strong he can push a wheelie table. Daniel pointed out.
Oh no, he pushed that table on wheels 5 feet.
He has a big punch out. Tom Cruise.
He has a Mike Tyson's punch out.
He does get injected, but now they start having a punch fight, which is distracting them from the fact that the guard that's been mind controlled takes a fire axe and chops the electricity that I guess keeps the
circuit
mummy
breaker panel
that prevents the mummy's chains from exploding.
Yeah.
He karate chops the circuit breaker that all the chains are plugged into.
She rolls up in her chains like some sort of Chronicles of Riddick and snaps them all. She's trying to get free. She wants to go get her gem. She needs to go stab her chosen. Tom Cruise escapes. Jenny
Yeah,
he breaks a door down. She opens a door. I forget exactly that.
The axe machine unlocks the Dr. Jekyll escape chamber.
Mm.
So Jenny and Nick sprint out into out of the Prodigium secret lair, which turns out to be in the back of a museum downtown London full of
My assumption is people. A famous museum in London that I've just never heard of being an American.
Yeah, and it just seems to be full of, like, people just looking at stuff for whatever reason.
Yeah, people enjoying the museum.
The mummy gets free, so now all the windows in all of London explode and are flying around, and Tom Cruise is, and Jenny are just out barely outrunning a wall of shattered glass.
Well, she summons the sands of Egypt, and someone that made this movie remembered that glass is made out of sand.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true these days.
Well, in this movie, it is. All the glass in all of London blows up, but, like, one at a time, chasing them.
The glass's wish comes true. It is returned to its rightful form, which is a big sand face.
They run away. Then the sand catches up with them. A bus flips over, and Vale is in there and says, come this way. I know where the dagger is. I know where the gem is. Come with me. So Tom Cruise does, I guess. Then the mummy's in the sewers for some reason.
Well, the mummy also knows where the gem is, and she's got the dagger, so she's got to go kill the soldiermen that have the gem.
So the mummy has MacGuffin number one, the dagger, but she lost MacGuffin number two, Tom Cruise, and she's looking for MacGuffin number three, the gem.
Yeah. You have to put the gem in the dagger, put the dagger in Tom Cruise. It's like
in
Russian
that order.
Dolls.
And just to be clear, although the movie doesn't explain how this matters, it is very important that Amunet is the one who stabs Tom Cruise, because apparently if Dr. Jekyll stabs him, or if he stabs himself, something else will happen that's not super clear.
Yeah, everyone in the movie wants the same thing to happen, which is for Tom Cruise to get stabbed by that dagger.
With the gem in it. The only person who doesn't want this to happen is Tom Cruise, for now.
He changes.
The mummy kills everybody. She wakes up all the crusaders and gets the gem.
Crusader zombies! Oh boy, I bet they're going to do something cool. Nope, just zombies.
They're just zombies, but they're wearing chainmail, so I guess they don't really, nothing is happening?
I guess Nick and Jenny swim around in the sewers, then the mummy's there, then some mummies are there, then Jenny's killed, drowned to death.
Jenny drowns.
Nick confronts the mummy, who just beats the crap out of him. She's going to stab him up. I don't think I'm missing any. There's like a million scenes here, but they're mostly just running away from
mummy. It's basically the plane crashes, and then it's an hour of them explaining about their shitty fucking...
About the backstory here.
Their shitty fucking monster hunting squad, and then a half hour wrap up. If they cut out the monster hunting squad, this movie would have been literally an hour long.
Yeah, and they lay out a lot of ground rules for what's going on with the dagger, but it's never quite clear. She beats up Tom Cruise. She's going to stab him with the dagger. He says, "You stink."
Oh, he says, I dump you or whatever.
It's not.
I dump you.
Yeah. He steals the dagger and, I've stabbed myself. Because the last thing you wanted.
Because he realizes that he might get the magical power of life and death. So he can bring the drowned Jenny back to life.
He also almost smashes that stone.
Yeah.
Doesn't.
He smashes it once, but not twice.
Yeah.
Three times a smash.
Three times a smashed stone.
Smashable diamonds.
He stabs himself. He dies, but then he comes back. His eyes turn into four eyes. He
what a nerd.
Kick his ass. He gets four eyes, a pizza face.
Brace face.
He slaps.
He joins the chess club.
The AVClub.com. He slaps around the mummy. He gives her the kiss of death and sucks out all of her juices. Then he brings Jenny back to life. But
he turns hideous, even though we never see it.
He hides in a shadow.
You see it very briefly. He screams at her with a monster face, and she comes back to life.
And then he hides in the shadow as if he were Nosferatu.
Yeah, he's got a scraggly digital voice now.
My name is Tom Cruise.
He disappears in a poof of sand, just as Dr. Jekyll and the squad shows up, and they have there's another narration of her being like, sometimes evil has to fight evil or whatever. And then we get one final scene where we're back in Egypt. There is Tom Cruise wrapped up mummy style.
Lawrence of Arabia style. But he's got like bandages on his hand because for some reason he's just adopted the culture of being a mummy now.
And also his friend Vale is there and it's like, thanks for being alive.
Yeah, thank you for bringing me back to life. I now no longer have to wear makeup and dumb 3D animated eyeballs.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is like, we're going on an adventure now. The end.
They ride towards the pyramids.
And then they're like, Tom Cruise will return in, maybe, if this movie does well. Probably not, though.
Could be, could maybe not.
Remember, that's the mummy. That's the mummy.
Lowercase M-U-M-M-Y, exclamation point, Darren Aronofsky.
Mummy! Mummy! I hear it's an analogy for the Postal Service.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, that checks out.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yep.
Yep.
I can't tell if you're funning me or not.
No, I'm not funning.
Are you mumming me?
No.
The hieroglyphics are an analogy for...
what's now?
Hieroglyphics.
Hieroglyphics.
They're like the emojis of the yesteryear.
As a Tom Cruise-like figure, I can now understand what you're talking about. And that's the mummy. The Dark Universe has begun.
Again.
And ended, maybe, probably.
Third time's the charm.
It's telling that every movie studio wants to make a shared universe, and yet Disney, Marvel are the only ones succeeding.
Hey, man, they put a crystal in this thing.
They tried.
There's only one reason that that crystal came off the dagger, and that is there's going to be more crystals.
It wasn't smashed.
Yep.
It's still out there. The only next... The Dark Universe... The one... Next movie that's actually scheduled is Bride of Frankenstein, scheduled for February 2019, starring Angelina Jolie. Filming has not started and maybe never
will.
Did they
get Jolie?
Mm-hmm.
They got her?
They got her, and they have Johnny Depp to be the Invisible Man sometime in a million years from now, but probably not.
It is a who's who of 1993.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they got some stars who will be much too old to be in this movie by the time the third one comes out.
Yeah, they'll all be dead by 2022.
That is a Dark Universe.
Oh, no!
They'll all be replaced by CGI actors.
Yeah, they'll all have to be Carrie Fisher in Star Wars 9 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes. That's a Dark Universe as well. So, what'd you guys think of this movie?
It was just boring.
Wow, this was not scary. This was a zero on the spoopometer.
Yeah, in terms of spoop, it is definitely a one-star spoop, and I wanted 5 stars.
Yeah, very spoopy.
And also, it was boring as hell.
Yeah.
After coming off of Triple X, Return of Xander Cage, it was real hard.
Guys, I missed that movie.
I miss it so much.
It was really good. I think Vin Diesel would have been a better mummy.
Yeah,
Nick Morton character.
He basically was.
He was immortal.
Well, when The Rock was. They're the same.
Yeah, this movie is very, very bad.
Yeah.
It has all the hallmarks of a bad blockbuster like action movie, but
stacked flashbacks.
Yeah, but times two, because it also lays a lot of groundwork for some movies that'll never happen.
And times three, because there's also like 3 scenes where it's trying to be like a mummy horror film.
Yeah.
It's trying to be like this universal horror movie. It's trying to be Transformers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really Transformers.
Also, don't do that.
Yeah, it's like the worst thing you could be, and it really wants to be it very bad.
I like Transformers one.
Yeah, I do too. But there's 6, I think?
17.
Ooh.
No, 6, I think.
I think there's 6. How many have you seen, Daniel?
3.
I think I 3.
I've only seen the first one.
I saw the third one by myself in a theater in Huntington, Alabama.
How was that?
Bad.
I think I watched the third one drunk by myself.
Wait, there's only 5, right? Because there's 3 Shias, 2 Mark Wahlberg.
Just 5.
Just 5.
Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, Dark of the Moon, Age of Extinction, The Last Knight.
Hmm. Wow, I'm so sad. I'm sad to know that. I thought there were 6. It's 5th installment.
It's all right. They're making a 6th one now, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
And they're making a spinoff, a Bumblebee spinoff.
But how would they make that movie any different from the... What would be the difference between the two?
It's exactly the Bourne Identity.
He loses his memory?
Yeah. Who am I? A talking robot or not talking robot or whatever.
It's Bumblebee has to lead a secret operation in World War II. It's his origin story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he punches Hitler with a mecha fist.
Oh, hey, here's a fun part that seems like a mistake. Shortly after the film opened, Variety reported that Cruise had excessive control over the film and film control of nearly every aspect of production and post-production, including rewriting the script and editing to his specifications, telling Kurtzman how to direct on set, and enlarging his role while downplaying Batellas. Universal contractually guaranteed Cruise control of most aspects of the project, from script approval to post-production screen decisions.
That is extremely awesome. And that, we watched a little featurette while everyone is peeing after watching the movie, and the director was on there being like, Tom Cruise basically demanded to be a person without a soul.
Yeah.
So we did it.
Yeah. Great idea, Tom. Thanks.
He's a real Jared Leto.
I wish Jared Leto was in this movie. What better movie that would be. Well, that might explain some of the problems if they let some guy just make all call all the shots.
Tests.
No. Oh, yeah. Before we do the test, I want to do my Dark Universe.
All right, do it.
All right. Let me think these through. King Kong, played by Andy Serkis.
Of course.
I mean, that's already exists, but go ahead.
That already exists, right. But he's in. We're rebooting him, Dark Universe style.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need Dracula. I'm going to say Edward Norton. He's going to be the Robert Downey Jr. type, who, you know, is like the older first character we introduce. Going to have a Wolfman, so we can have Dracula versus werewolves. I'm going to say Joe Mangiello reprising his role from True Blood.
Love it.
We need something for King Kong to fight, so Godzilla.
Okay, yep.
Where we're just looping in the Godzilla most recent one. Bryan Cranston comes back to life, though, as a mummy.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't count. He's just there. And then finally, we'll tie them all together with Van Helsing, still played by Hugh Jackman.
Yep.
Love it.
And he hunts them all, teams up with King Kong. Fight an army of Draculas and werewolves.
I'm into it.
That's Jacob's Dark Universe. They team up with the Hasbro Extended Universe. Pizzazz teams up with King Kong. Wait, one more. The Ghostbusters show up. They used all that ooze on King Kong to make him a good guy.
Oh, they control him with an NES advantage.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
They just play that Donkey Kong rap.
Hi!
The DK crew.
And he wants to win.
Coconut gun fires and spurts.
Mm-hmm. We all know this. Yeah. That's my Dark Universe.
All right, I'll give it a go. Number one on this Dark Universe, Stripe from the movie Gremlins.
Yep.
Yeah, all right, coming out strong.
He will be played by Jay Baruchel.
Excellent. Does Gizmo show up as a cameo? Is he the Nick Fury character?
I mean, Gizmo's in the movie for sure, but yeah, it's going to be like post-credit sequence, Gizmo. Okay.
Gotcha.
And he'll be played by Seth Rogen. It just makes sense, guys. My next movie monster will probably be... I'm going to go with Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I like that, yeah.
And the Predator will have to be...
I mean, there are new Predators in the cooking out there right now.
I'm sure. But I think I need veteran actor, random MMA fighter.
Okay.
Random MMA fighter will play Predator.
Not the big guy who plays Drax the Destroyer. Not some Cena. John
Cena will play Predator. Yes.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I'd watch that.
Toast.
He's just staring at me down the hallway.
Toast is my cat.
My next movie monster will inevitably end up being, geez, I don't know. Let's just do it. It's going to be the Ghostface Killer from Scream.
Not Ghostface Killer.
No.
Okay.
And I will keep the original, and it will be a tag team of Matthew Lillard and Skeet Ulrich.
Oh, yeah. They'd be clear villains, too.
Yeah. No, totally. 100%. Mm-hmm. They're the real Suicide Squad.
Man, Skeet Ulrich.
Was it Skeet Ulrich?
Yeah, it's Skeet Ulrich.
Okay, cool.
He would be good. He should come back and be in a crappy DC movie or something.
So that's three.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my fourth monster is the lady, is it Natasha Henstridge from Species?
Oh.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
She's just going to bone everyone and murder
them.
Okay,
still Species.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then my fifth one's the Invisible Man.
Okay. Doesn't be played by anybody.
But it's Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yeah. Crossover.
Like,
does he fight Invisible Man, Hollow Man?
Yeah, he does.
Fights himself.
Yeah. And also he watches Natasha Henstridge. have sex and murder all the people.
Because, wow, that's a very dark, sexy universe.
Yeah, it's a dark, sexy universe.
I like it.
And then they're going to fight, because sometimes you need a monster to fight a monster.
Laser that goes into the sky.
We'll fight a laser that goes in. They will fight a team up of Jason, Mike Myers, but not Michael Myers, actual Mike Myers, the actor.
Yeah, he married an axe murderer one time. He's got some skills.
So Jason Voorhees, Mike Myers, and Freddy Krueger.
Mike Myers playing himself or...
Mike Myers is playing himself, okay. Yeah. No, it's actually Mike Myers playing whatever he is in the Gong Show.
That freaky British guy.
Yeah.
Austin Powers?
All right, Daniel. All
right. Daniel, where's your dark universe?
All right, so...
I want something real dark.
We got RoboCop. Played by Joel Kinnaman.
That's very dark.
Your dad.
Yes, my daddy.
Your cousin Joel.
He can do some work.
Okay.
So I think there's good thematic crossover for him and Frankenstein.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
They got a lot in common.
They're not so different, you and I.
One's brought back to enforce the law, and the other one's brought back to just be a guy that walks around.
Throw girls into wells and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. Scare old men.
Old blind man.
Frankenstein is played by John C. Reilly.
Oh my god. Yes.
And they team up with this little scamp they find on the road that goes by the name of Sonic the Hedgehog. Voiced by Jaden Smith.
Good. I'm on board so far.
Does he still love chili dogs?
Oh yeah.
Smith would be a pretty good Sonic.
This is a dark universe, so there's a
it says shouldn't it be Shadow the Hedgehog?
Oh, well, hold on. We're getting there. There's no chili dogs. There's nary one in sight. And, until the after credits of the very final movie. They say, what's in the very back of this vampire lair? Oh, the chili dogs!
They reach into the bottom of Pandora's box, and there's the chili dog.
We've released every evil thing that could possibly be released. And one other thing.
A 5D chili dog. But they team up to find Dracula and Shadow the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Is Dr. Eggman like sort of an ambiguous Captain Jack Sparrow figure?
Yeah. He's bad for a little bit, but mostly good.
Well, who plays Dracula?
Oh, J.K. Simmons.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
This movie's writing itself.
Yeah, he took over for Gary Oldman.
And who's Shadow the Hedgehog?
That's Will Smith.
Oh, I like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Father Son.
Right?
It
make you think.
It really do. Okay.
It's Daniel's Dark Universe. The do-do-do.
The do-do.
I'd watch any of those. They'd all be better than the thing we started watching.
Heck yeah.
All right. Now we should do the tests.
Okay.
All right. We were talking about this during the movie. The Bechdel-Wallace test. Are there two named female characters in this movie?
Yes.
I will count monsters.
Yes.
There is Mummy Lady and Scientist Lady.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know their names.
That's it. Jenny?
Yeah.
Jennifer Halston. I can tell because I'm looking at Wikipedia. And Aminet. Do they talk to each other?
I'm a lover. I'm a child.
I'm a lover. I'm a gnat. I'm a sinner. I'm a mummy. They do talk to each other.
Do they talk to each other about something other than The Chosen?
Nope.
I don't think so.
They have one conversation very briefly.
Yeah.
It might be I'm going to get you. You're going to die.
He does say, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
After I get free here.
Yeah.
Does that pass? Probably not.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Not really. Well, I mean, they do have a conversation. If the rules as written, I say it passes.
Well, it has to be a conversation about something other than a man.
Overall, the conversation is about a man, but there is a line not about a man.
You passed, mummy. The racial Bechdel test. Are there two people of color? Counting monsters. Let's start with not counting monsters.
Oh, there's the general.
Well, there's
one. Bunch of extras.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one of the soldier guy steals the gun from is an African-American man.
That's true.
But he's not named.
No, not a chance.
One of the ghost soldiers is a person of color. The number two that gets locked in the elevator outside of Jekyll's room.
I'm going to say counting monsters. Yes, we have the general who dies instantly and Aminet. Do they ever talk to each other?
No. No.
That's right, they don't. Are there any LGBTQ characters in this movie?
No.
There's hardly any characters at all, and they're all entangled romantically.
Everyone wants to bone Tom Cruise or is neutral.
Yes.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
The end. Fail, maybe? Question mark, pass, but probably fail. This whole movie does not really have very many characters, and they're basically all white, and it does not treat Jennifer Halston well.
Also, this is a movie where you could have a lot of not white people if you wanted to at all.
I mean, some of it takes place in Egypt.
I mean, there are a lot of, like, just basic terrorist stand-ins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to pass our test.
No, none of them have lines, but they are all there.
That's right.
Also, we squeeze in a real Last Samurai into this one, where Tom Cruise becomes the king of the underworld. Yeah, where Egyptian
he becomes
darkness.
Set.
Yeah, where Tom Cruise, the white man, out-mummies the mummy.
Also, he constantly tells the archaeologist that he's not interested in anything about Egypt or learning anything about what's going on.
Yep. Despite that.
All he wants to do is steal gold and sell it.
Yeah.
And yet he still becomes the best mummy that has ever mummied in the history of mummies.
And he sucks all the mummy juice right out of the mummy. I guess.
Mummy juice was my favorite of those little face juices.
Oh, little short ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm, yeah.
Mummy juice.
Mummy juice.
Makes me strong.
I like the Mario branded versions of those.
Oh.
I don't remember Mario branded versions of mummy juice.
Oh, they're really... I like that Mario mummy juice.
When I was in high school, Shrek 2 was out. And I must have been in college then, actually.
Yeah,
Shrek
2
was out, and they were selling Kool-Aid.
Shrek juice.
No.
Oh.
Ogre jizz.
No.
Swamp
It was
juice.
Called the second flavor. I don't know what the Shrek one was
Donkey.
Called.
Donkey!
It was called Donkey Punch.
Whoa!
I know, right?
Wait a minute.
Man, they should just hire me to sit in these marketing firms and be like, nope.
We're going to go, okay, we've got it all lined out. We're going to go to the guru? Nope. Okay, back to the drawing board.
What if we did jizz blasters?
All right, nope. Nope, guys. Guys who invented that super soaker that shoots cum, nope, I'm going to veto that one.
Not that one either. Good try, good try. No, thank you.
We're calling this candy Mounds.
Nope. Gonna have to send that one back. Candy good.
What if we call it, what if we called this one? I'm gonna nut.
Gonna pass on that.
Hey, we want to have an advertisement that for a McRib that says I'd hit that.
Let's check. Nope, that one's not gonna work. Send it back. Yeah, that's your character on Mad Men. It's really coming together. Right?
It's me sitting in an empty conference room with a newspaper, and they all bust in the room.
You're sipping your big glass of bourbon, your full suit.
It's our new slogan for the Quarter Pounder. We're going to Pound Town.
Guys, again, nope.
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
Shut the door on your way out.
Oh, should we rewrite the ending of this? We'll have to figure out where the third act starts.
She escapes.
Okay, I'll buy it.
Yeah, she gets out of her chains and it's a sewer chase. Or not a sewer chase.
You can determine what hole she chases you through.
But where's all the McMuffins?
Well, I guess the gem is still underground, but the rest are with the mumsy.
Yeah, okay.
Tom Cruise is the one MacGuffin. He's escaped, I assume, as well.
Well, I guess we'll say if the breakout is the start of third act, you can decide whether or not she breaks out.
Okay.
But let's say Dr. Jekyll Hyde fight stays in, but what happens after that is up to you.
Okay.
Sounds good?
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm in.
Two, three, break!
Welcome back.
Hey, it's Michael here.
We have...
Hey, I'm Mike, too.
The Frumcast. I'm Michael Frum.
I'm Michael Frum.
And I'm Michael Frum.
Today, we're rolling dice.
Well, let's see what we got here. A one, that's not a very good number. If I was shooting a magic missile, which I often find myself doing, because I'm Michael Frum.
That would only be two damage.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to be number one.
I'm going to be number two.
I'll be number three.
Roll that dice, baby.
Number four.
It's a four.
Which is a reroll. Nope. Which is a wild card. Number one.
All right. So, last
fix this movie, Jacob.
I'm going to fix it.
Jacob.
I am going to hold true to a couple things, though. The terrible tone of this movie cannot be fixed. That's remaining.
Oh, yep.
I'm still making it part of the Dark Universe. It's going to be even more Dark Universal.
Mm.
Oh.
So last we left off. The mummy's escaping. Dr. Jekyll is freaking out into Mr. Hyde. Tom Cruise grabs Jenny and they go fleeing from the mummy's rage. She's
woo!
Woo, mummy rage. All of London's windows are exploding. Tom Cruise grabs Jenny. They go find the Crusader's gem. That just makes me laugh saying the Crusader's gem.
Yep.
They get the gem. They're hiding out in the sewers. The mummy cannot find them in my version of the ending. So she is just destroying London in a giant sandstorm. She's just standing in the middle of London, sending giving everybody the mummy smooch, blowing up windows. There's a giant, we see the camera cuts to like a satellite shot of the entire country of England engulfed in a sandstorm. Mr. Hyde turns back into Dr. Jekyll and he says, gets the prodigium elites on the phone and he's like, we've got to send in everything we've got. We've got a stage category 4 monster mash.
They do the mash.
Activate the monster mash protocol. So we're cutting back and forth. There's
Tom. Oh, this is Graveyard Smash.
Graveyard Smash 1. We're weapons free. We're cutting back and forth between Tom Cruise. He's cowering. Jenny's saying, you need to go deal with this nonsense. We're the ones who set this curse loose in London, and it's our fault that everybody's getting killed. And he's like, no, I don't want to. I'm just a man. Meanwhile, you see the prodigium. Dr. Jekyll's first he's got his like ghost soldiers. Then he sends in the werewolf soldiers. But the mummy and her zombie army is making short work of them. Then he sends in, of course, their witches, witch coven, which casts a bunch of spells. They're trying to keep the mummy maintained. Finally, all of his army has been defeated. The prodigium is just no match for the mummy. Tom Cruise is meanwhile underground, and he's like, I've never done anything good in my life, but I'm going to do one good thing. I'm going to solve this problem once and for all. And he takes the gemstone and he starts heading up. Meanwhile, Mr. Hyde's like, well, if you want anything done, you better do it yourself. And he injects himself with, I guess, vampire blood in Swamp Man Ichor.
Wow.
I don't know, with a werewolf fang.
Turns into a Super Hyde.
Yeah, he turns into Super Hyde. He has a big old punch fest with the mummy who beats
big
him
H
up.
On his chest.
Introducing all of these things that can come up later. Mr. Hyde still gets his shit wrecked. So he calls in the last option. He calls in a nuclear strike on downtown London.
Whoa.
So the jet starts flying in from, I don't know, wherever jets flying in movies.
Sure.
Some other place.
Yeah.
So they have T-minus, 15 minutes before the nuke is dropped. The mummy, Tom Cruise and Jenny confront the mummy. She grabs Jenny with her mummy army, with her zombo army, and says, I'm going to kill her. You need to come over here. I'm going to take that dagger and sacrifice you. Tom Cruise realizes that a missile's coming in and he says, he's going to do the one good thing in his life. He pulls out his gun and using those masterful army skills that haven't come in play yet, he shoots the gem out of the bottom of the dagger and then he shoots himself. It's like the end of the Devil's Advocate. The mummy screams in rage and dissipates into a cloud of sand. The nuclear strike is called off, although London is mostly wrecked from a giant sandstorm. And then we get a, let's say, ending narration monologue from Mr. Hyde or Jenny explaining how through his sacrifice he was able to defeat the mummy, but who knows for how long. And look, now all of the world has seen that supernatural monsters are real and we have to prepare for the next one to show up. See you later in the dark universe in, I don't know, the Bride of Frankenstein.
Nice.
Yeah.
I call that the legit ending.
The actual ending.
The ending to a movie. The end.
I like it.
The thing that should have been made.
Right.
That which should have been.
But was not.
All right, Mike.
Give me evens.
I'll be odds. Ooh, it's an odd.
Woo!
You ready?
You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So the mummy is about to escape. Everyone gets very scared. All the guards are turning into zombies because they got spiders in their ear. The mummy is throwing a big fit. She's breaking her chains. She grabs her dagger. She's about to stop Mr. Hyde when the camera pans back a little bit and you see that he has his hand on a knob, which he turns up. He turns that knob up.
To 11?
No, it's like at 40 and he turns it up to 60 and we see the mummy get weaker. But and he punches her and she actually reacts and falls down. Whoa. He's not even Mr. Hyde. He's Dr. Jekyll right now.
He's got mummy weakening knobs.
Yeah, but you zoom out, you see an exterior shot of the building. There's a giant antenna on it. Actually, it's the Ferris wheel.
Sure.
Ah, it's very Doctor Who.
Yeah, Ferris wheel is actually a big antenna in London. But you also see other places around the world. The color gets drained out of everything. Everything gets more boringer. You see a meadow with a beautiful sunbeam. It disappears. It looks more boringer. You see more parking lots. They get bigger and stouter. Well, nothing actually changes. What I'm saying is the magic gets drained out of the world.
Oh, they're fighting her with magic.
Some smart person comes up with a good way to show that there's no magic in the world.
A girl drops her ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You just see
David Blaine just stops levitating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just stuff like that. Everything gets boringer.
Nobody's mind is freaked by Chris Angel.
Right. They're like, you know what? I got to go home and pay my taxes, Mr. Mind Freak. Freak someone else.
And I don't even enjoy it.
Yeah. You see David Blaine in the poorhouse. That's what you see.
He's got a barrel. He's wearing a barrel with suspenders.
She's overpowered. She's put in for real mummy prison, not just a bunch of chains in the center of a room.
Rikers.
Yeah. They lock her up real good and they say, Tom Cruise, we had to turn up the magic de-intensifier. Makes the world a worse place, but it keeps us safe. Mm. I didn't want to do it, but I had to do it. Okay. So you've been cursed. If you can keep it together, then we'll be fine. But if you can't keep it together, we're all screwed. So don't fall for this mummy curse, Mr. Cruise. Mm.
Don't make me turn this up to 80.
6 months later, Tom Cruise, being that terrible narcissist that he is in the whole movie, has totally fallen under the mummy spell. He goes in there. He sets her free. All sorts of mummy shenanigans actually start happening. They turn the knob down and break the knob off.
Whoa, that's extra magic now. Yeah.
So it's magic time, everybody. We see all sorts of crazy stuff start happening. We cut to a castle somewhere. We see the lid start sliding off a coffin.
Oh, baby.
We see the swamp. It starts a bubbling. Well, we see boobs being fondled by the invisible man.
We see an old man look at a picture of a corpse and go, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Magical things are afoot.
Holds up two bolts and rubs his chin.
Put those in a neck. Oh no, the thing's been broken. A rooftop fight starts. Mr. Hyde or Dr. Jekyll has to go full Mr. Hyde to fight Tom Cruise, who's gone full Set, and this mummy lady. They're full evil. They're summoning a giant sand face. It's very bad for London.
Yeah.
Then who should show up? Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
His pager went off. He knows how to kick a mummy's ass or two.
Boy, does he.
Him and Mr. Hyde team up to fight the mummy duo. It's not working very well. The fight spills out into the streets. Mr. Hyde has to end up tipping over the Ferris wheel onto the two mummies to kill them, sending off one giant blast of D-magic thing that just turns them into corpses. The antenna's broken now.
Magic is free.
The end.
Whoa.
What do you call it?
The death and rebirth of magic.
What are you buying?
All right, it's Michael's turn. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
We're going to do it right.
Give me an ending.
All right, so Sofia Boutella, the mummy, escapes her chains.
Oh.
And instead of immediately running away and getting her crystal gem, she immediately implants tiny spiders into everyone in that room, into everyone in that building.
That's a good
idea.
So
now there is nobody hunting her.
Oh, yeah, that's
literally zero people. Then she proceeds to raise all of the corpses in the world.
Okay.
Not just like five crusaders.
Not just whatever's convenient.
Does she just turn them into dust later on for no reason? Like she did in the movie?
I will cast my budget spell.
You're welcome, execs.
And she gets that gem and she gets that knife and she's like, cool beans. And then she's like, why do I even need this Set guy? What? Why? I don't need it to happen. I'm fine. I'm an all-powerful mummy. I can have anything I fucking want.
That's true.
And she just proceeds to do that.
Wow.
Cut to 2 years later. The world is an apocalyptic wasteland run by a moomy.
I like this. I'm already on board.
The world is a vampire.
The world's a vampire.
Set to Dre EAA.
Tom Cruise sits in a bunker trying to cull together the last vestiges of man to take down this mummy when he gets an email. From a very clandestine user account. It has five little videos.
Spoopy at mummy.gov.
And it's like, I got this from the Prodigium server. You might want to look these up. And he starts playing each one. And they're all little trailers for other movies that you can be watching later on. One is that really big dude from Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
He's a creature from the Black Lagoon now.
Oh, he'd be scary.
He's got a trident. And he's all like, stab, stab.
Mm-hmm.
Then that lady from the Fast and the Furious franchise,
mm-hmm.
Well, she's a bride of Frankenstein, and she's got a sword.
Are we talking
and,
Michelle Rodriguez?
No, the other one.
The other one. Mm-hmm.
The one that's Gal Gadot.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Best known.
Yeah. And then there's that skinny kid from We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, suddenly he's an invisible man. We don't know it's him, but you know.
You can't see him. It's just a screen of an empty room.
it's a screen of an empty convenience store to being robbed, and suddenly someone stops it, and then they stop and wink at the camera.
How do you know they're winking? Do they?
Because he's got little sunglasses, and the sunglasses wink.
Okay.
And then there's a wolf man, and he's played by that guy who's playing Cyborg now.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Winston? What's his name?
I wish.
Ray Winston's a person, but
yeah,
that's not
is
him.
A person. I cannot remember that.
It's a guy. Like it's like his first thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, scratching his chin, Tom Cruise does.
Yeah.
Then the movie ends.
Perfect.
And I call that the Dark Justice League.
I like it.
All right.
Yeah.
Wolfman.avi.
That's right.
Dracula.mpeg.
IMP4.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, I guess, would they know it's Dracula in the Dark Universe? That's a question for the Dark Universe.
Dracula? Question mark?
Is somebody going to know it's Dracula, or are they just going to be like, that's a really cool vampire?
Yeah, cool.
Also, do they know what vampires are?
Well, in this movie, they did have a vampire skull in a jar.
Right. True. But are they going to see a vampire and go, vampires like in vampire movies? Or are they going to go, I've never seen something like that before. That's a new thing.
Well,
I've heard of folklore about Vlad the Impaler.
Right.
Everyone was hanging out with a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and they weren't like, look, everybody, a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Right.
Like in the book.
They know mummies because mummies are a historical thing.
Yeah.
Boy, that's going to be real confusing for the dark. That's going to be a real tough nut for them to crack. Because these are all literary characters.
Yeah. Ooh, but they're so cheap.
Ooh, that's right.
They're so old and cheap, though.
Ah, The Invisible Man, much like that book by
Ralph Ellison about the tribulations of being a black man in America.
I'm going to name you after this famous book. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to... That's an interesting conundrum for them.
Yeah.
That'll never come up because they probably won't make another one.
Until Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah, maybe. Woo. All right, guys.
We did it.
You want to plug something?
Listen to Sidekicks.
Yeah. That Defenders episode will be out by the time this episode is.
Oh, I forgot to tell you guys I watched all of the Defenders.
What'd you think?
I did not like it as much that as it went on. I kind of lost steam.
Yeah. No, I think it's very bad by the end of it.
It's real good for about one episode.
Yeah.
Starts episode bad, number, ends bad.
Episode number three or four, like... It's a good show. Nope, never mind.
Yeah, ooh boy. And it does not get me excited for later shows either.
No.
Like really just sucks all the energy.
Next
out of
we have to sit through Punisher.
Oh, that might be okay. It could be okay. It'll be bad.
It would have been good until our election process happened.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, we can't let Punishers live.
Yeah.
In our world.
Yeah, that's true. That's a little maybe he'll shoot Nazis.
Maybe.
That'd be okay. He's done it.
Or just like black drug dealers.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah.
But if he shot Nazis. If he fought the hate monger, there's a little comic book nerd stem.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
That'd be good. Probably won't happen though.
Is he, like, sell hate out of a stall in a market?
Basically.
What you buying?
I'll save it for a long...
Fuck you. That'll be $5.
I'll save it for a very long email I write you guys on Psychic.
Oh, Park. Perfect.
All right, we'll read it and then not release that episode.
I know.
How about you, Jacob?
I don't think I have anything new and exciting to plug. My law firm's still out there, Helios Law Group. Decades podcast is still chugging along. We just recorded the second episode of the second season, where we watched two movies sort of about spies, one from the 30s and one from the modern era. The modern era one was
Born Identity.
The East, starring Alexander Skarsgård, and I'm blanking on the actress's name. It is the actress and director of The OA on Netflix, and also another movie that the two of them both worked on. It was not very good, but it was very weird. But it's a good episode. We talked a lot about spies and drones and modern day intelligence biz, and also just whatever's going on in the news. It's hard not to.
Facebook hacks,
you know, all that good stuff. But other than that, I will plug the Sidekicks pod. Go listen to that. Listen to what these two knuckleheads and Caroline have to say about the Defenders
and other shenanigans.
Yeah.
But most of all, like and follow our podcast, The Third Act Saviors. As of tonight, we have an Instagram.
Yeah, we do.
To start posting the photos and videos we're taking, so we're not just posting it on our personal pages.
Yeah.
So you can go look us up on Instagram, Third Act Saviors.
There's a real good still of Vin Diesel being birthed out of the water. Mm-hmm. Like Swamp Thing might do.
There's a good
like
still
the creature from
the
Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Of the mummy barfing a bunch of mercury out.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. Also Twitter. Good way to get in touch with us. Write us an email. We do respond to our tweets and our emails. We're going to try and have some guests on our next few episodes, TBD, but that's coming down the pipe, the hot pipes.
Hot pipes.
We also have had a few recommendations for movies to watch. Those will be classics episodes because they were all classics recommended to us.
I'm excited.
We will definitely get to them. They're just going to be spread out.
Oh, you know what? We talked about doing this a year ago. We've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
The Tim Allen Santa Claus.
Oh, boy.
Oh, should we watch like the real bad ones, though? Like Santa Claus 3?
Where he fights Tim... Tim Short? No, what am I?
Martin Short. Jack Frost?
Yeah, Santa Claus versus Jack Frost.
I watched all those in theaters.
Wow.
They're very bad.
No.
I rewatched the first one, was playing at a friend's party, and there's some real racial stuff in the like first 50 minutes of that movie. Whew,
that's too bad.
Yeah.
Well, it is Tim Allen.
Yeah. He's gotten real bad. He started bad, he got a little better, and then he got bad again.
Him and Scott Adams.
Yeesh. Well...
Titans of comedy.
Not missing much.
You've got pointy hair.
And on that note, good night from the Third Act Saviors.
And
do we have like
luck.
A closing thing? Do we say?
Keep it real, meowmies.
Keep it real, meowmies.
Keep it real, meowmies, like we always say.
Like we say at the end of every episode.
All right. Bye, guys.
Hey, it's me, Daniel. This is the Third Act Saviors podcast.
I'm
where we
Jacob.
Watch a movie.
I'm Michael.
Kill me.